Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller. Together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Chaf Amud Bet, that's 20b, and we are about halfway down the Amud. In the skinny lines, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines up in the skinny lines, right in the middle of the line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are switching topics slightly today to talk about who you are supposed to mourn for. And there is a list that's given in the Torah, as we'll see in a second, that is the basis for who we're supposed to mourn for. Basically, the Torah gives a list of who the Kohanim are allowed to become Tameh for. And this list of whoever the mitzvah of mourning that's required for the Kohanim to become Tameh for is assumed to be the list of people for whom we are required by the Torah to mourn. And that list is found in the beginning of Parshat Emor, Vayikra chapter 21. And there it says that the only ones that he can be Tameh to are Lish'ero HaKarov Elav, his relatives that are close to him, Imo, his mother, Aviv, his father, Beno, Bito, his son and his daughter, Ula, Achiv, and his brother, Vilachoto, Habtula, Hakrovaylav, and to his unmarried sister. It's derived from there also, they derive his spouse from Lishe Ro, but there is a machloket Rishonim as to whether or not that the spouse is on the same level as the others, because the others are related by blood, and the wife is only related by marriage. So the Rambam considers it a different category. So you have those basically seven people who you are supposed to mourn for. And the question is, are those the only ones that you mourn for? The rabbis wanted to add in perhaps other relatives that are not quite as related, perhaps one's spouse's relatives, and that's our topic of conversation for today. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis thought, Kol ha'mor b'parshat Kohanim, all those who are mentioned in the Parsha of the Kohanim, shekohen mitame lehen, that the Kohen becomes tame to them, which we just read, avel mita be'el alehen, a mourner has to mourn for them. That's the required list of people for whom you have to mourn for. Elohein, and these are they. Ishto, his wife. Aviv, his father. Ve'imo, his mother. Achiv, ve'achoto, his brother and his sister. Beno ubito, his son and his daughter. Puts it in a slightly different order than the Torah. I don't know why. Then it says, hosifu alehen. The rabbis, or Gemara hosifu alehen, the rabbis added on to this list, achiv achoto habtula me'imo, his siblings who are only maternal siblings. So the assumption here is that the Torah is referring particularly to paternal siblings, perhaps because those are the ones that were most likely to be living with you in your home. But the rabbis added on maternal siblings, so half brother and half sister. And they also added on v'achoton nisua ben me'aviv ben me'imo, and they added on his sister who is married, whether paternal or maternal, even though she's living in someone else's home and she's taken on someone else's name, that you'd still mourn for her as a married sister. Those are added on by the rabbis. So far, none of that is up for discussion. This next line is a three-way machloket. Uchashem shemitabel alehem, just as one is required to mourn for these seven relatives, let's say from the Torah, required by the Torah, and these additional four relatives that were added on by the rabbis, kach mitabel al shniim shelahem, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So one must mourn rabbinically for their second level mourners. Shniim are those who are connected to them. Those are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Now, what does it mean, shniim? So Rashi explains that what we mean is you have seven mourners that you're supposed to mourn for. If one of the people you're supposed to mourn for has someone that they're supposed to mourn for, then you would have to mourn for them as well. So as an example, you are supposed to mourn if your father passes away, lo aleinu. Now, your father also has a father, who is your grandfather. Now, if your father's father passes away, your father would be required to be mourned. Since you have to mourn for your father, the shnia lo, his secondary mourning, is his father, which is your grandfather. According to this, you'd be required to mourn for your grandfather as well. Similarly, you're required to mourn for your son. Your son is required to mourn for his son. Since your grandson is shnia to your son, you would be required to mourn for them. Those are the two simplest cases that everyone agrees on. The more complicated case would relate to your father has a wife who is not your mother. So he's required to mourn for her. The question is, are you required to mourn for her? Or your father has a brother or sister who he's required to mourn for. Are you required to mourn for your father's siblings as well? Those are the additional cases. So Rabbi Akiva says you have to mourn for the shniyim, for those who are mourners of those who you have to mourn for. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, the second opinion is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and he says, Eino mitabel ela al ben beno, the only ones you have to mourn for that are shniyim are your grandson, ve'al avi aviv, and your grandfather. And Tosos adds on to this that this would apply as well to a grandmother and a granddaughter, just saying, they're just giving the example that it's to the second generation. And the third opinion, v'chachamim omrim, the sages say, kol shamitabel alav mitabel imo chachamim. All that he's required to mourn for, kol shamitabel alav, all that he's required to mourn for, mitabel imo. Then he has to mourn for them as well. And the question is, it sounds like the chachamim are very similar to the Tanakhama. After all, it's almost exactly the same words. However, Rashi says, interestingly, that in the question that the Gemara is about to ask, that the Chachamim sound like the Tanakhama, that he thinks the Chachamim are just like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The question is, which Shniim exactly apply in each case? So it seems to me most likely to say that Rabbi Akiva is including the entire list, not only grandparents and grandchildren, but also spouses and siblings. Rabbi Shimon is saying it only applies to grandparents and grandchildren. And the Chachamim, it seems, this is the way Rashi reads it, seem to be agreeing with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So when the Gemara asks here, Chachamim hainu Tanakama, the sages are just like the first opinion. They don't mean Rabbi Akiva, they mean Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, they mean the middle opinion, not the first opinion. So the Gemara answers, Ika bainaihu imo babayit. The difference that there is between them, Ika is equivalent to yesh, bainaihu is beinehem. The difference between them is imo babayit, if they are living with them in the home. In other words, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar requires you to mourn for a grandparent and a grandchild, even if they live somewhere else. But the Chachamim would require that grandparent and grandchild to be a member of your household in order for you to mourn for them. Ki ha de amar le Rav l'chia brei, just like Rav said to his son, v'chein amar le Rav Huna l'Rabba brei, and Rav Huna said to Rabba his son, be'apa nahuga ve'luta. In front of them, you take on the customs of mourning. Below apa, not in front of them, lo tinhoga ve'luta, you do not take on the customs of mourning. So in other words, in front of them doesn't mean literally in front of them, but it means if you're living with them, then you would keep their mourning practice. Mar Ukva Shachiv Le Bar Chamuha. So Mar Ukva, his brother-in-law passed away. That is the son of his father-in-law. In other words, his wife's brother. So his brother-in-law passed away. Savar Lameta Vale Shiva Ushloshim. And he thought to himself that he would sit Shiva and Shloshim for his brother-in-law, even though his brother-in-law is not directly related to him, since he is a shnia to his wife. He thought he would sit Shiva and Shloshim, which is what we've been talking about. All Rav Huna Lagabe, Rav Huna went up to visit him, Ashkechei, and he found him. Amarle, and he said to him, Tsudaniyata ba'ita lemechal, you wanted to eat a mourner's meal? In other words, here I see you're not required to eat a mourner's meal, but you're eating one. It's because you prefer a mourner's meal. Lo amru lichvod ishto, they didn't say that you should mourn for the honor of your wife, that is your wife's relatives, elachami v'chamoto, only his father-in-law and his mother-in-law, not also siblings. Ditanya, as we learn in a Braita, mi shemed chami v'chamoto, if his father-in-law or his mother-in-law passes away, eno rashai lachofet ishto liot kochelet v'liot pokeset, he cannot compel his wife to put on her makeup, that is blue, kochelet is blue eyeshadow, and pokeset is rouge or blush. He can't compel his wife to make up her face when she's a mourner because it's not allowed. She's in avilut. Ella, rather, moreover, kofe mitato, he has to flip his own bed over, v'nohig ima avilut, and he should keep the avilut with her. This is as what the Chachamim said, is that for the shnia to his wife, or his for his father-in-law or his mother-in-law, he should keep the mourning along with her. V'chein he, and same thing with her, shemit chamiha o chamuta. If her mother-in-law or father-in-law passed away, eino rashai liot kochelet v'liot pokeset, she should not put on her makeup, even though she's not technically a mourner. It's not one of the mourners for her, but she can't put on her own makeup. Ela kofe mitata v'noheget imo avelut. Instead, she should flip her bed over, that is sleep on the floor, and conduct herself as a mourner along with her husband. Vitanya idach, and another braita related to this topic says, afal pisha amru eno rashai lachofet ishto liot kochelet v'lihiyot pokeset. Even though they said that he's not allowed to compel his wife to put on her blue eyeshadow and her rouge or her makeup on when she's a mourner, be'emet amru, nonetheless, they said, mozeget lo atakos, she can still pour him his cup of wine, umatzet lo mitan, she can make his bed, umarchetzet lo panav yadav v'raglav, and she can wash his hands, his face, his hands, and his feet. These are all things that normally in those times were things that a wife did for her husband. So she can continue to do those wifely things for her husband. Now this is assuming this is a case where he is a mourner and she is mourning along with him. So because she is mourning along with him, he cannot compel her to put on her makeup because she's going to mourn along with him. However, she can still take care of her husband while he's in mourning by doing the things ordinarily that a wife would do for her husband. This is for Shalom Bayis. These are things that ordinarily they would do. Now, it does not necessarily say he can compel her to do those things. Perhaps she is not doesn't have to do those things, but she's certainly allowed to do those things. But those are things that should be worked out between wives and husbands anyway. But for the sake of Shalom Bayit, I assume that the whole reason that you're mourning along with each other also is to create a shared experience of mourning. It's also good for the relationship. So the Gemara has a question about this, though. Kasha na hadade. There's a contradiction here, meaning if the husband is a mourner, why is she making his bed? He should be sleeping on the floor. If the husband is a mourner, why is she washing his hands and face? He shouldn't be washing when he's a mourner. So what's going on? Elalav, so he says, no, you're right. Shma mina, learn from this. Kan b'chamiv b'chamoto. When we were talking about in the original cases was for his father-in-law and his mother-in-law, kan b'shar krovim, this here we're talking about with the other relatives. When it's his father-in-law and his mother-in-law, he's not a real mourner. But here with other relatives, he is a real mourner, and then he would not be washing his face. Shema mina, learn from that. Okay, that pretty much closes out the sugya. Almost. We have one more line. Tanya Namihach, we have a similar braita that teaches. Lo amru lichvod ishto, the rabbis didn't say that he should mourn for the honor of his wife. Ela chami v'chamoto bilvad, except for his father-in-law and his mother-in-law only. So that supports everything that we've been saying up until now, and seems to be the main thrust of the sugya, is that the shneim that we're talking about are for his wife are only father-in-law and mother-in-law. All of these customs, all of this law that's from the Chachamim has fallen out of disuse. Basically, we don't paskin this way at all. We do not mourn for the Shniim at all. It's not our custom to do so. There are some poskim that write that one should do something to mark the idea that one ought to mourn for them, such as wear black clothing or do like one act of mourning to show sympathy. But all of this additional chumras of mourning for shniim are not things that we are nohig to do nowadays. I just want to do one more line. a memar, which seems to go against the rest of the Gemara to a certain degree, a memar shachiv la bar brei, a memar's grandson passed away, the son of his son, kara iluha, so he tore kriya for him. So assumingly he here was following the dictum of saying that he was going to keep avelut, just like his son was, as it was as a shnia to his son. And since he was keeping shiva for him, he would also tear kriya. We, as we said, don't really do that anymore, but if he was doing it. So we're actually going to go back into the issue of kriya here. So Atabre, then his son came to join him, Kara Ba'ape, and he tore Kriya a second time in front of him, because the principle here was that the first time he tore by himself, but really he should be tearing in front of his son. Idkar Demiyushav Kara, then he remembered or was reminded that when he tore Kriya the second time in front of his son, he had done it while seated. Come, so he got up, Karam Umar, and he tore Kriya a third time standing. So there are two halachos of Kriya that are learned here. One is that when you're doing it for a shnia, you should do it in front of the person. So he's doing it for his grandson, he should do it in front of the real mourner, which is his son. And the second one, which is where the Gemara is going to go in that direction in our next recording, is that one is required to tear Kriya while standing, and that will be the topic for our next recording. Have a wonderful day.